The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
It is just unquestionable at this point that that man cannot see public office again. He is not only unfit, he is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
We have to defeat a person who is a threat to our democracy of the kind that we have not seen. And now the times have found us to save our democracy. That is what we are here to do.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
On a call a week ago, you said it's time to put Trump in the bullseye. There's some dispute about the context, but I think you appreciate
that. I didn't see crosshairs. I was talking about focus on. Look, the truth of the matter was, what I guess I was talking about at the time was, there's very little focus on Trump's agenda.
Yeah, the term is bullseye.
It was a mistake to use the word. I didn't say crosshairs. I meant bullseye. I meant focus on him. Focus on what he's doing.
What he says is the opposite. It's just another lie. Like, how did we get here? Let's extinguish him for good.
Wow. That one there, that's from today. So the other ones, a few weeks old, I suppose, a couple months old. They've been saying this for months and months and months. Get him in the bullseye. I love the confusion that the fake president brings up over bullseye, crosshairs. Which one was it? Let's extinguish him. Let's put a bullet in him. He must be eliminated. They continue on with this dangerous rhetoric. This rhetoric that moves would-be assassins to take action. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. We'd also love to hear from you if you'd like to email some feedback, TD@TheTrumpet.com. So much to get to on today's show. I had probably five or six cold open options. And at the risk of being somewhat repetitive, you've got to go with this one again. They want to kill him. They've tried to kill him. It should be, as I said yesterday, headline news on every cable station, on every news program. But no, they ignore actual assassination attempts and talk about ones that could happen if Donald Trump returns to power. And meanwhile, they carry on with the Commerce Secretary, forget her name, but she's there saying that Trump needs to be extinguished. He needs to be wiped out. We're not even 2 weeks removed from the most recent assassination attempt. In fact, Donald Trump, he tweeted out this morning, big threats on my life by Iran. The entire U.S. military is watching and waiting. Moves were already made by Iran that didn't work out, but they will try again. Not a good situation, says the president. I'm surrounded by more men, guns, and weapons than I have ever seen before. More guns, more weapons, more security than ever before. Because so many people want to murder him. So many people want to assassinate him. 28% of Democrats believe that assassination is justified. They believe that if Trump were killed, it would benefit the country. That was just last week. We wrote about it again last night in the Trumpet brief. It's unbelievable. The spirit of murder is in the air. Where does that spirit come from? Who's behind it? Jeremiah 8 and verse 44, you know what it says, that Satan the devil, He's the father. He's the father of lies, and he's the father of murder as well. He loves it. We've all gone the way of Cain. It says in the book of Jude, Cain was a murderer from the beginning. You look at that murderous spirit. Matthew 15 and verse 19 says, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, and adulteries. These people just spewing hate. And as Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, hatred, that vile hatred, you've already committed murder in your heart. That's where it springs from. And as I told you yesterday on the show, I mean, this manifesto by the latest crazy man, he's just saying what he hears on Morning Joe. Same language. He's unfit. He needs to be eliminated. He can't return to office. He can't not be president again. They're filled with hate. 1 John 3, verse 11 says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. They're just in a fit of jealous rage. I mentioned that section in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. If you're just angry without a cause, there's such a thing as righteous indignation. But there's no cause here. There's no righteous cause. They just hate him. It says in the old Plain Truth, this is from 1960, here murder is traced to its source, hate and anger. Christ declared that if personal anger filled the heart of one of his subjects, such a person is in danger of judgment. If that anger leads a man to have utter derision and contempt for his fellow human being, that man should be in danger of the council, of God's punishment. Here again, we're going to the source of this spirit of murder that we see everywhere around us. I mean, they say it with a smile on their face. Yeah, he should be extinguished. He should be extinguished. Look at how carefree they are with these kinds of words. Trump should be extinguished. Trump should be eliminated. If he talks about an economic bloodbath, as far as those people, the same ones you just saw there, as far as they're concerned, that's a declaration of war. Meanwhile, he should be taken out. He is unfit for office. It's really pretty scary stuff. No wonder Donald Trump is surrounded by more guns and ammunition and security detail than ever before. Says something about our times, the times we're living in. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days we'd be living in dangerous times. We're living in those times. You look at the front page of the New York Post today, it's a world in flames. Look at this. All these world leaders, they're assembling together to give their annual UN speech. Joe Biden shows up, and as far as he's concerned, the world's perfect. It's like the dear leader said when he was in charge. Yeah, it's a little messy here and there, but for the most part, we're living in peaceful times. They say this as one war after another erupts on the face of this earth. They lie. You can see there at the bottom. He just basically lies about the economy and what's happening at the border. We'll get to so many of these things more as we proceed. But I brought up a couple of days ago that maybe it was last week where, you know, they for 2 seconds, they dialed down the rhetoric. And then as if right on cue, all of them together said, you know what? No, we can't dial it down because he is, in fact, a threat to democracy. He's a threat and he's got to be extinguished. He's got to be eliminated. Listen to MSNBC as they consider whether their rhetoric should be tamped down a bit. Clip 17.
This headline from New York Magazine is pushing back on this logic, saying, quote, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, and saying so is not incitement. What strikes me, Jonathan, is many of the rhetorical attacks that we're seeing from Harris and Walz and the Harris campaign are using Trump's own words. They're just highlighting things that he has said, his own quotes. The bulk posts of the from the Kamala HQ account is Trump in his own words. Do you see Democrats shifting their message? Should they?
No. No. What Trump is doing by trying to shift the blame onto Democrats is projection.
Yes. No, no, says the news anchor, the distinguished news anchor. No, no, keep the violent rhetoric coming. And well, they are. They are. Tucker's been on tour with quite a few different conservative personalities. In this clip, he's with Jack Posobiec, the commentator that oftentimes appears on Steve Bannon's show and other things as well. But listen to this exchange, clip 15.
That at some point, Tucker, is it indifference? Is it incompetence? Or is it complicity?
Well, I mean, we don't need to guess, right? So if they come in and make changes and your neighborhood goes from a cohesive, beautiful, safe place to a slum in 10 years, they wanted to do that. And if they do that to keep places all over your state, they did that on purpose. Like, I don't think we need to guess, do we? And if you don't investigate attempted murder of a presidential candidate, you're in favor of the murder of a presidential candidate.
You're in favor. He's alluding to the FBI investigation, particularly with crooks. They go in and they mop everything up, cremate the body, and they move on. They don't even investigate. They're behind. They want it. They're behind it, and they want him dead. There's 28% of Democrats on the whole want him dead. And there's quite a few, you know, there is inside the deep state that want him. It's all by design. We had a cover when the disastrous Afghanistan pullout happened just 3 years ago. Chaos by design. That was the cover of our magazine. It's on purpose. If your city just falls apart, if your city is overrun with migrants in the course of 5 or 10 years, like Tucker says there, I mean, it's done on purpose. This is what they want. That's the cover art. The fake president just yesterday said that, yeah, it was the right decision. Still, no regrets on how they pulled out of Afghanistan. I saw one survivor, one U.S. Marine, 13 of them were murdered. This poor man was sitting for an interview and he had a fake leg and a fake arm because they were blown to bits. He's one of the lucky ones that survived, that's still living. And for the rest of his life, he's got to hobble around on one leg and try to get by using one arm. And these people, no regrets. No regret. In fact, he says, hey, there's not been one casualty under my watch for any of our servicemen and women around the world. There has been. All of this, that Commerce Secretary saying that he needs to be extinguished, this happens on the same day that the Senate releases its report on the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination. And just the one botch after another after another. But if they're not even going to investigate the attempted murder, what does that tell you about their desires, about their hearts? Tucker's right. Listen to this from Fox Business, clip 2.
Breaking news this morning, the Senate releasing its interim report on the Secret Service failures during the assassination attempt against former President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, July 13th. The committee finding that the Secret Service, quote, failed to ensure the AGR roof was adequately covered by either U.S. Secret Service or by local counter-snipers. The report also revealing a Secret Service agent requested drone equipment days before the rally, but it was denied without explanation.
Don't guard the AGR building complex. And yeah, don't give us any extra drone technology. This is from the Post-Millennial. On the report, it says that that agency, speaking of the Secret Service, knew that Crooks was on the building for 27 minutes ahead of the attempt on Trump's life, which killed one man and injured others. 27 minutes, they knew. They knew Crooks was in the area. They knew he had the scope. They knew. How do you not, at the very least, how do you not page someone or get on the walkie-talkie and say, get him off the platform? Get the president off the platform. There's a dangerous threat. At approximately 5:45 p.m., Secret Service personnel were notified that local law enforcement observed a suspicious person with a rangefinder near the AGR building. At 5:52 p.m., at least 8 Secret Service personnel had been informed. How do you explain this? It's at the very least, it's like they're paralyzed with fear to act or do anything. Even the counter sniper, he had him in his sights at least a few seconds before Crook started firing away. But I guess, and then they try to say that, well, we can't fire first. You think if Obama's speaking, they wouldn't fire away? It says here, the findings of the report list 12 key points of complete and total failure where Secret Service should have taken action to protect the president and take out the shooter. It's just like that. Well, there was even a Democrat senator who said that this report, he said it a week or two ago, that Americans were going to be shocked. Even a Democrat in Congress. Here's the bullet points from the report. Secret Service personnel were notified of a suspicious person. Well, that's the 27 minutes beforehand comment. Another one. Secret Service was notified about an individual on the AGR roof approximately 2 minutes before Crooks fired from the roof. So Secret Service knew 2 minutes. I mean, set your watch at some point and just let it go by for 120 seconds and see what any of those guys, eight of them knew, at least eight of them knew, could have done, whether they were near the platform or anywhere in the general area, running and screaming. And there were local law enforcement that were basically doing that around the AGR building. Shortly before shots were fired, Secret Service counter sniper saw local law enforcement running toward the AGR building with their guns drawn. Yeah, the sniper, you know, the guys behind Trump, they saw it in their scopes. Here's local law enforcement running with their guns. And President Trump, he's just up there speaking away. Chaos by design. Chaos on purpose. This is what the higher-ups wanted. Another one says here, Secret Service counter snipers, including the one who shot and killed Crooks, were sent to the rally in response to credible intelligence of a threat. However, of the Secret Service personnel interviewed by the committee, nearly all said they were unaware of any credible intelligence of a threat. We made the point yesterday, it was in that American Thinker piece, that those counter snipers were sent in to make it look like, really, to make it, because who sends them in if there's credible threats and then tells them there's no real threats? You know, we're just kind of sending a few extras in. Chaos by design. This report says several Secret Service officials reported experiencing technical problems with their radios at the rally. How about that? There's several of them that have said this is kind of routine, that they have these technical difficulties. Listen to Fox and Friends. This is from earlier today, clip 3.
The new preliminary bipartisan Senate report is more than 100 pages long, and what stands out is some Secret Service agents telling the committee they had no knowledge of any threats to the former president. Here's some of the other key findings to the report. No clearly defined individual responsible for planning and security of the event. The AGR building, including the roof, was not, quote, effectively covered. Ineffective communication, coordination with state and local law enforcement. Secret Service denied requests for additional assets ahead of time, and failures to prevent Trump from taking the stage relay info on a, quote, suspicious person. Now, also in the report, the lead advance agent was told that credible intelligence existed of a threat, but still wrote in a security planning document that there was, quote, no adverse intelligence concerning the visit to Butler, Pennsylvania. The report also says requests for counter-drone equipment were denied. The Secret Service agent responsible for overseeing counter-drone systems at the July 13th rally, quote, lacked experience and knowledge about the equipment and called a toll-free tech support hotline for help.
As I listen to all that, I think, where's the FBI report? The FBI is the one that rushed in there to investigate. Why does it take some Republican senators and a few Democrats? I mean, Richard Blumenthal is the one that said you're going to be shocked. I mean, this is really disturbing. But the FBI, you see, that's the lead agency responsible for the investigation. They move in there, cremate the body within 10, 12 days, and then they move out, and it's all over. And that's it. Lips are sealed after that. Why? Chaos by design. And then you throw in, you know, some cover-up energies or activities as well. Make sure you cover up enough to where we don't look too bad. And then if the committee comes out with a report, well, it'll just kind of be a report. It'll be in the news for a few hours. And then the next day, everyone moves on. Listen to this headline from Fox News. Trump assassination attempt. Inexperienced Secret Service agent flying drone called toll-free number for help. He didn't know how to operate drones. They gave him a one-hour tutorial beforehand, and then he's on the helpline, the 1-800 number, to try to figure out how to operate the drone. Crooks was there, the would-be assassin. He was flying his drone all over the place. How do you explain this? I mean, it's like a comedy, almost. But it's all true. Listen to Fox and Friends again. This is clip 4.
So we had heard that the Trump campaign was denied aerial assets. They were denied a drone going into that event. But then you just told us about the inexperienced drone operator or this agent who was given 1 hour of informal training, apparently couldn't figure out how to get it in the sky, called the 1-800 number.
To put it in perspective, you know, at Fox News, we have a drone team, our flight team. They have way more training than 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
they need a license.
They need a license. They go through weeks of training for it. Why are the people that are just capturing news for our viewers have more training than someone is supposed to be an asset? Also, the thing that I just found stunning when it comes to the threat to Iran, the Secret Service agent that's in charge of the detail in advance found out about the Iranian threat from news reports.
You've got all these assassination teams, 5 of them, as we covered yesterday, from Iran, from 2 other international whatevers, 2 domestic teams, all trying to kill Donald Trump. And the one drone operator they have had an hour of training. And compare that to the Fox News drone operators, as that guy brought out there. How does this happen? Is it just one mistake? After another innocent mistake. It's just like the Afghanistan withdrawal. It's chaos by design. It's just like the southern border. It's chaos by design. It's just like the crime in the streets. Chaos by design. There was a guy, I love the Civil War documentary that he produced. Ken Burns, I think, is his name. Is that number 8? He was on one of the regime media's shows. Listen to what he said about cities and about the economy.
you know, migrants commit far less crimes than regular citizens, that our cities have never been safer. The economy is booming. We have a robust sort of intelligence and foreign policy apparatus of both parties, all of whom are supporting Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
I mean, they're going to start causing me to melt down every morning. This is crazy. Our cities have never been safer, and the economy is booming, says this man who lives in probably a rich, gated community, totally sheltered from what's actually happening in cities with the economy. How is this possible? The level of deceit and dishonesty. I mean, look at what was happening in Philadelphia last night. It's just turning to chaos in some of these cities. There was a report, I think this was Fox News. You guys can go ahead and play it. I think it might be 13, I forget.
Shocking scene in Philadelphia over the weekend. Watch the absolute chaos as hundreds of vehicles descend on a busy intersection. Cars did donuts while hundreds of people took to the streets, lighting fires, throwing fireworks, jumping on cars. At least five police vehicles were damaged, some with their windows smashed and their tires deflated. Several officers were hurt in that chaos. It was the 11th illegal car meetup Philly police responded to in just one weekend. And they say someone even brought a flamethrower to one of them. Steve, we were talking about this, the absolute devolution of society.
Yeah, this is the collapse of civilized society. And this is normal now. I mean, you see scenes like that in Los Angeles pretty much every weekend. It's just not reported to the same degree. And it's the direct result of policy choices. Far left extremists in charge of DA departments and the defund the police movement.
It's the direct result of policies. Did you catch that? In other words, it's on purpose. Chaos by design. Yeah, just let them take over the streets. You see all these other images and video, including in Philadelphia, of a Skid Row type environment with people just strung out on drugs, keeled over onto the sidewalk, stoned out of their minds. The rise in homelessness. And then you get Ken Burns coming on TV saying the city's have never been safer, in the same spirit of the coverage in 2020. It's mostly peaceful behind me as the city was going up in flames. Yeah, mostly peaceful, but get him on Jan 6. Victor Davis Hanson had a great comparison with the two. Comparing, you heard what we said the other day, Joe Scarborough. This was a typical Monday program where Scarborough is like, J6, they wanted to execute Mike Pence. Four officers died because of they ignore Ashley Babbitt, Roseanne Boylan. They don't count. Okay, count. Violence coming after MAGA supporter, that doesn't count. In fact, it's justified. 28% of Democrats say it would be fine to assassinate Trump. Get him out of the way. But when it's left-wing motivated violence, all these same people, boy, they don't apologize for it. It's needed. It's necessary. And also, we've got to get those criminals out of jail as soon as possible. Listen to Victor Davis Hanson, clip 14.
In the United States, we had 120 days of rioting in May to November of 2020, continuous. 35 to 50 people were killed, $2 billion of property damage, 14,000 people arrested and let go, 1,500 police officers. And that was exempt from criticism. Kamala Harris, who was going to shortly be the vice president candidate, said the rioting should, the protests should, and she knew they were violent. They tried to storm the White House ground. Nicole Hannah Jones, the architect, the 1619, said, theft is not a crime. Property is not a crime if you take somebody's property. So the left said, that's okay. We had one day of a bunch of buffoonish people who rioted over the election. And so they went.
And that's a threat to democracy.
That was a threat to democracy.
There you go. Let me just look at the video. forget about the statistics. I mean, he did a good job there of rattling those off. $2 billion in damages, 35 to 50 people murdered, cities going up in flames. The fact that it happened for 120 days, it doesn't even, it's kind of like Ashley Babbitt, though. It doesn't count. It's not crime. It's not murder. Not when we do it. Donald Trump wanted at least 10,000 National Guard at the Capitol on January 6th to make sure that everything was safe and peaceful. Think about that for a moment. The so-called leader of the insurrection telling Milley, telling others, hey, get whatever you need to get in here to keep it safe. Do it. And he was the president of the United States at that time. Just the News reports, Donald Trump gave clear instructions to Pentagon brass before the January 6th riots to do whatever it takes to keep the U.S. Capitol safe, including deploying National Guard or active duty troops. But top officials did not comply because of political concerns. According to transcripts of bombshell interviews conducted by the Defense Department's chief watchdog that shine new light on government dysfunction ahead of the historic tragedy. There you go. And they've got all these quotes in here from Milley himself. Milley! The one that Scarborough says Donald Trump wants to execute. Okay. General Mark Milley, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, confirmed to the Pentagon Inspector General 3 years ago that during a January 3rd, 2021 Oval Office meeting, Trump pre-approved the use of National Guard or active duty troops to keep peace in the nation's capital. If he wanted to overthrow the government, if he wanted to take over the government, why would he pre-approve National Guard from Milley to come in and make sure that the streets were peaceful? Who was behind the violence that did happen on January 6th? There wasn't nearly as much as the Summer of Love, as VDH just pointed out. But so who was behind this? Who was behind the chaos that happened on January 6th? Chaos by design. They wanted violence. They wanted rioting. They wanted a narrative that they've since embellished. Hansen's right. Some buffoonish people that broke some windows and kicked over some lecterns and such. And then the rest of them staying within the red velvet ropes. Seriously? This is an attempted overthrow of the U.S. government, and none of them had a weapon. And the only ones that were killed that day were two Trump supporters. The insanity of some of these narratives and the seriousness with which they present them. The president just says, hey, look at this. It's going to be a large amount of protesters coming in here on the 6th, and make sure, this is a direct quote from Donald Trump, and make sure that you have sufficient National Guard or soldiers to make sure it's a safe event. It was so important for Donald Trump that it be a safe event. And Milley is the one being interviewed here. He's relating to the Inspector General what Donald Trump told him days before January 6th. And Milley, I forget the name of the other one, Chris Miller, the acting defense secretary, they said, no way, we got it covered. Everything's taken care of. And they consulted with Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., and of course, Nancy Pelosi. Everything's under control. Everything's good. We don't need to follow Donald Trump's admonition or order, some would say. It says here, Milley confirmed a second time during the interviews that Trump was clear in his wishes. It was just what I just described, said Milley. Hey, I don't care if you use guard or soldiers, active duty soldiers, do whatever you have to do. Just make sure it's safe. And they didn't. So who's responsible, ultimately, for the violence that did happen on that day? Who's responsible for Ashley Babbitt's death? Who's responsible for the vandalism? And by the way, Is anybody going to be held to account for the Secret Service failures that nearly resulted in Donald Trump being assassinated? Look at what they've done with these January 6 protesters. 14, 15, 1600 of them still languishing away behind bars, still in the DC gulag. I mean, in that case, it was the biggest investigation in DOJ history. And then look at all of these prosecutions. Is anyone going to be sent to jail for what happened on July 13th? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. If it's chaos by their design, that's okay. That's okay. And if it's a strong arm crackdown on Trump supporters that goes beyond punishments for actual criminals, that's okay. That's okay. Look at the criminals that are flooding into, never mind what Ken Burns says, the cities of America have never been safer. Where do you live? You know, what news show are you watching? Probably Morning Joe, probably The Meltdown every morning, where he's there telling you everything is perfect. It's never been better. The economy is booming. No, the New York Post has it right. The world is, it goes beyond America. The world is going up in flames. There was that clip the other day online, Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, he's there with Zelensky, and he's smiling away. He walks over to these missiles that I guess some manufacturing group in Pennsylvania is providing for Zelensky, bombs. And he's there. He was almost the VP pick for the radical left. And he's over there signing the bombs and smiling away. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Democrats and the Democrat Party were anti-war right across the board. But now, I mean, it's a booming business, no pun intended. Signing the bombs, and Zelensky, for his part, he's smiling away. We've got a regional war that's about to explode in the Middle East between Israel and Hezbollah. That's the only war, by the way, that the lefties are against. If it's involving Israel's right to defend its existence, then they're against it. They don't want Israel to go on the offensive. No, no. In fact, it's a counteroffensive. But all these other dumpster fires all over the world. This is from Fox News regarding the migrants that are just pouring into into America all across the land. Clip 13.
Record high illegal crossings down at the southern border have obviously been a huge political headache for the Biden administration. So at the start of 2023, they created two new programs to allow migrants to come into the U.S. legally, bypassing Border Patrol entirely. And according to new CBP data, those Biden programs have now allowed more than 1.3 million migrants to come into the U.S. So take a look at this. According to that CBP data, about 530,000 migrants have now flown into the U.S. as part of the Biden administration's controversial mass parole program for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. It's called the CHNV program. Now, more than 200,000 of them have been Haitians coming in, and at least two of those Haitians were arrested for sexually assaulting children this year. These two programs combined together have been bringing in roughly 70,000 to 80,000 migrants every single month. And those migrants are not counted in Border Patrol data because they are not illegal crossings.
They're not even counted. That's just Joe Obama flying them in many cases. From Haiti, from Venezuela. Says here, Haitians are not just arriving in Springfield, Ohio, this is from Center Square, but also in small rural towns nationwide as a result of several Biden-Harris administration policies. It's on purpose. It's on purpose. Harris was at the debate the other night. Remember how much she said? I was a tough prosecutor. I went after those international gangs. Well, tell that to Aurora, Colorado. Tell that to the people of Chicago. they're seeing these Venezuelan gangs come into the city and the gangs that we have. Now there's gang warfare between homegrown gangs and the ones that we're letting in, we're inviting in. Since fiscal 2021, more than 485,000 Haitian illegal border crossers, a record, have been reported by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Since 2021, that's just little Haiti. That's just the tiny little island nation. You know, we had an article at the Trumpet magazine after that devastating earthquake. And the U.S. went in there, you know, to clean everything up, to help Haiti get back on its feet. And we told you at the time it was going to be a curse. It was going to end up being a curse for America. That was 14 years ago. I mean, we didn't know how everything would play out. But look at what's happening now. Not just a Springfield. You hear all about the 20 or 30,000 migrants from Haiti in Springfield. There's a 500,000 since 3 years ago. That's just Haiti. And like you heard from Fox News, a lot of them aren't even officially counted among the number. Trump is right. Yet again, it's probably closer to 20 million in the last 3.5 years than it is to 10 million. But the fact that we can't even know tells you everything that you need to know about the extent of this chaos. It's all on purpose. A lot of them are registering to vote. It's part of this year's plan to rig the election. They can't do the COVID redo, so now it's the illegals. Bring them in, make sure they get registered, and you know, we'll spread them out. And yeah, they'll probably want to go to blue cities for the most part, the sanctuary cities. But if we can spread them around into Republican towns as well, like Springfield. The cover up there, by the way, and this, I mean, this is coming from law enforcement in red towns, but still, you've got city managers, you've got mayors, you've got the top officials at law enforcement agencies, and they're playing along with the radical left, concealing the truth, telling you everything's perfect. We need these Haitians because we just have so many job opportunities. I mean, the economy's never been better. It's booming. The cities are totally safe. It says here, since fiscal 2021 through August, the majority have been, let me just back up. It says here, the overwhelming majority were reported this fiscal year, nearly 216,000 compared to 48,000 in 2021. It's on a dramatic increase. The number that were, in many cases, flying in to the United States. And then just dumping off into cities like Springfield. America's under attack. I mean, it's intense. I mean, this is some bitter, bitter affliction. Just as 2 Kings 14 says, I mean, that's all discussed in this book. America's under attack. If you don't have a copy, call our 800 number. Our operators are standing by to take your request. The number is 1-866-930-3024. It says here, all of these programs are illegal. State attorneys general who've sued to stop them argue. U.S. House Republicans also cited them as among the many illegal actions Mayorkas, that would be the secretary, DHS secretary, caused them to impeach him. Mayorkas has since only expanded the programs and extended TPS. Yeah, they're protected. They can work and hopefully vote. Mayorkas gets impeached for it and then leaves and expands the program. 216,000 this year compared to 48,000 3 years ago. They just dig in their heels. Even when they're corrected a little bit, they just move forward and expand on the offensive, the attack. And people suffer as a result. The New York Times even exposed a bit of truth. Venezuelan's gangs' path to the U.S. stokes fear, crime, and border politics. The gang in question is Tren de Aragua, which sprang from a Venezuelan prison and developed into a feared criminal organization focused on sex trafficking, human smuggling, and the drug trade. And yet Ken Burns is there from his perch saying the cities have never been safer. America's never been safer. Chris Wray probably told him that. This says here, federal officials were working on more than 100 investigations linked to the gang at one point this year. I mean, you have to give credit to the New York Times. It doesn't happen often. 100 investigations into this gang and the violence that it's spreading across America. Listen to this from Fox News, clip 10.
You got the gangs that are coming in now. Twenty de Agua is now fighting with the local gangs. And this is on top of an already problem right now. You got robbery that's up 12%. Aggravated battery is up 13%. Murder vehicle theft is up 43%. And you inviting them in to go against now the local gangs already in Chicago. Explain to us what's happening on the ground.
So let me just say this. We just heard about a vice president who said she specialized in locking up and arresting transnational gangs, while the very party that she's a part of, the policies with the sanctuary cities and the border crisis, she support.
This is the New York Times. It says among the places the gang has waded into is New York City, where more than 210,000 migrants have sought shelter since 2022. New York City has taken in 210,000 migrants in a two-year span. It's flooding into the city. Yeah. Gangs, too. It says here, the city's police department says the gang has primarily focused on snatching cell phones, retail thefts, especially high-end merchandise in department stores, and dealing a pink, powdery, synthetic drug known as Tusi that is often laced with ketamine, MDMA, and fentanyl. Ken Burns says the cities have never been safer. Listen to this from this is a Fox affiliate in Chicago, clip 12.
Pastor Corey Brooks, the founder of Project Hood, says adding migrants to the city of Chicago is complicating the city's crime issue. It's not the first time we've heard that complaint. Pastor Brooks appeared on Fox and Friends First earlier this morning. He says he constantly hears from neighbors about their concerns. Brooks says that he believes it's only a matter of time before things explode.
We're already dealing with major crime. We're already dealing with major educational issues. We're already dealing with a high murder rate. When you add individuals who are undocumented, who are coming from countries who have been let out of prison and entering into our city, it's only a matter of time before things explode.
That's in Chicago. That's in Chicago every weekend. It's in New York. It's in Los Angeles. It's all across the country. The New York Post headline, Chicago gangbangers rage against newly arrived Venezuelan migrants as Tren de Aragua moves in. City is going to go up in flames. Maybe someone should tell this to Ken Burns. The city's going to go up in flames, one of the city officials says. We've got international gangs that are now in the mix, and our local gangs don't like them. So there's going to be gang warfare. Already is. That's the headline at the Post. I think the Post has it right. Never mind what Joe Biden, the fake president, said yesterday at the UN. The world is a mess. And they've created it. They're responsible for it. There in the lower part of that headline, you see Biden tries to spin world chaos. Ken Burns tries to spin world chaos. Janet Yellen, for her part, she was out. There's a Wall Street Journal opinion piece, the Biden-Harris economic success. Oh, okay. It's just been a great success. Everything's wonderful. There's no crime. The cities are safe. The economy's booming. He can try to spin it at the UN all that he wants. But he's part of the problem. I mean, he's just the puppet. Don't get me wrong. The dear leader wants this. The dear leader's responsible for this. endless wars. This last bit that I think we have time to get through, it's from The Federalist. Again, just in this theme of a world in crisis, a world in chaos. They've made a mess of it, and they're out there bragging. And they're working behind the scenes to fly in as many millions as they can. At The Federalist, P. Diddy and Jeffrey Epstein barely scratch the surface of America's elite rot. I mean, this aligns with an article we had on Epstein and other things at the Trumpet just a few years ago. The rot that lies within. Last week, Sean P. Diddy Combs, the rapper and music producer, was arrested and charged with sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion, racketeering, conspiracy, and transportation to engage in prostitution. He was known for these freak-out parties, and celebrities from all over the world would come. Hollywood celebrities, the music industry, even politicians. There's a lot right there in New York City that got caught up in the scandal. I mean, the law enforcement officials, politicians. This is why Trump, one reason why Trump, you add 210,000 illegals to the fact that you've got all these leaders in New York City that are being exposed for their scandalous behavior. It's really sickening. It's like Ezekiel 8. God says, hey, come over to this hole in the wall. I want to show you even greater abominations. As many have pointed out, since his homes were raided back in March, the allegations against Combs echo the disturbing pattern of Jeffrey Epstein's criminal activities. The individuals connected to Combs and Epstein are influential figures in government, media, and entertainment. They shape our culture. And their moral corruption matters because it seeps into the very fabric of our society. These are the elites. This is the ruling class. These are the ones responsible for shaping our culture. Connections between these elites run deep, not just in entertainment, but politics as well. Combs' former bodyguard, Gene Deal, reportedly said that Combs kept tapes of politicians taking part in his infamous freak-off sessions. Deal also claimed Combs' arrest is tied to the alleged corruption scandal currently gripping New York City politics. It says further on, Combs certainly had cozy relationships with numerous politicians, such as Barack Obama. Chrissy Teigen's resurfaced interview, where she admits to public sex with her husband John Legend at the Obama thing. What? The Obama thing? The Dear Leader? Was the Dear Leader connected to this? If the Dear Leader was, you can be sure that he is hard at work right now trying to cover this up. That's why so many people online are saying, yep, Diddy's going to be Epstein'd. It says here, she admits to public sex with her husband at the Obama thing. And this is only added to the suspicions, I should say, about these celebrity political networks. I mean, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Obama, by the way, he just met on Monday with the radical left opposition to Bibi Netanyahu's party. Netanyahu's the PM, the prime minister. And yet you've got Obama in tight with the radical left. It doesn't, hey, listen, the Logan Act and all those things, interfering in elections, it doesn't apply to the Democrats. Well, just invite him to your mansion in Washington, D.C., which is like a mile away from the White House. How convenient. Here he is, hard at work behind the scenes, resisting Bibi, resisting against Netanyahu, as he did for his first and second term. Obama hates Israel. These are the kinds of people that are shaping our society. The mess they've created. And then they go out and they try to spin it. They try to put their spin on the world chaos. As I said, the New York Post had it right with its headline this morning. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.